Welcome to the Gas Street Podcast. Our vision as a church is to be light for the city.
We really hope you enjoy this message.
I always say, you guys love a good chat, don't you? Whenever it's like give and chat, you guys love a good chat. Well, I don't know about you, but I sense that God is up to something tonight. Just the way you guys have been worshiping, singing, we can sense that there's like an expectancy for God to move in this place tonight. So, guys, help me preach tonight. I'm very excited for what I'm going to be talking about tonight. But before I start, I'll just introduce myself. My name is Ronya. If you haven't met me before, I always used to say Ronya like Sonia. I'm an ordinand here. I'm part of the Gas Street team. As you're aware, well, first of all, can I just say I really sense that God has a word for us tonight. So please, can you help me preach? Yeah? Yeah? Oh, my gosh. Please, can you help me preach tonight? Yeah? Yeah. Some interaction tonight. As you're aware, we are kind of pretty much in the third week of our 7-part Acts series called A New Point of View. So we're going 7 weeks looking at Paul's journey as he's traveling through in the book of Acts. And we're looking at various locations in his ministry journey. So we have chosen 7 specific cities where he's stopping. And what we're doing is we are stopping at one location and we're unpacking that particular location. So we're seeing actually what was happening in this location, what was happening to Paul within this location. And at the same time, we're unpacking to see actually what biblical lessons can we learn from this particular location. So if you remember, week one, we heard from Reuben. He preached a brilliant message. Then last week, we heard from Mike. Now this week is our third stop, and our stop is going to be Derbe and Lystra, taking us into Macedonia. And tonight, we are going to be looking at how do we make decisions? How do we make decisions? But not only that, how do we discern the will of God? But not only that, we're going to be looking at what do we do when God says no? When God says no, what do we do? So the 3 things: how do we make decisions? How do we discern the will of God? But not only that, what do we do when God says no? And no can be a painful thing. It can be a painful thing. We all know that decisions have consequences that can impact every single aspect of your life. A good decision will lead to growth. It will lead to a life that bears fruit. Whereas a poorly made decision, a bad decision, will lead to deep regret, pain, stress, and setbacks in life. And decisions, they impact the trajectory of your life. What you decide today, we will see the fruit of that tomorrow. The decision you make today, right now, will impact, and we will see the fruit of that tomorrow. Actually, what's happening right now is that we're seeing the fruit of the decisions you made last year, yesterday. We're seeing that fruit now. And for all of us here today, no one is left out, including me. We all have a decision that we have to make, be it today, this week, or coming up soon. And for some of you here today, you've walked in and you have a decision to make about your career. Should I start a new job? Should I quit my current job? Is this career for me? Should I change my path? Should I pursue further education? For other people, you've walked in today and the decision you need to make is about your relationships. Ooh. Should I begin a romantic relationship? For some of you today, you're even thinking, man, do I need to break up?
I'm speaking truth. You're laughing.
Should I get married? Is this the person I should marry? Is this person wasting my time? You're considering all of those things. You know, we all have decisions to make, be it about our career, our relationships, our education, business, family, finances. We all have decisions to make. And sometimes, we can sometimes feel so overwhelmed by decisions that we have to make. But I love this quote by Amy Joseph that says, decisions, they are not puzzles to solve, but actually privileges to steward with the guidance of God. And the beauty of it all is that we partner with the Holy Spirit as we navigate life and these decisions. You know, as I was praying for you and praying for this Sunday, I had this image that for some people, you have come into church. And for some of you today, you may actually feel like as though you're under a fog, a deep fog of confusion. And you're like, Rania, I just don't know what to do. I just feel so confused. But I want to say, and I want to prophesy that the bright light of Jesus Christ is going to come through and give you clarity over that decision that you need to make. You know, Jesus, our Jesus, my Jesus, he desires to lead us intimately as we make decisions. And what I heard the Holy Spirit say is that, Rania, tell them that I'm near. Ooh, tell them that I'm close. Tell them that they are not alone. You know, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 33 says, for God is not a God of confusion and disorder, but of peace and order. And, you know, if you've come in and you're confused, you may actually be feeling frustrated, depressed, hopeless, and even just battling emotionally. But the good news, as I've said, is that Jesus desires to lead us as we make decisions. So, let us turn to our text today. We're going to read it together. We're going to journey through it together. We're going to unpack it together. And we're going to pick the lessons for us within this text that Paul has in regards to how we make decisions. So this text for this day, for Sunday, Acts 16, verse 1 to 10. And I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Version. So it says, now Paul traveled to Derbe and also to Lystra. A disciple named Timothy was there, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer. However, his father was a Greek. Timothy, he was well spoken of by the brothers and sisters who were in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, since they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decrees decided on by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem for the churches to observe. So the churches were strengthened in faith, and they continually increased in number day by day. Now, they passed through the territory of Phrygia and Galatia after being forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. Then a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man from Macedonia was standing and pleading with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when he had seen the vision, we tried to go into Macedonia at once, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. I want you to just write that text, Acts 16, verse 1 to 10. You see, In this text, we see Paul trying to navigate two big decisions. The first decision is within the verses of 1-5, where he's trying to navigate relationships. He's trying to figure out, whom should I surround myself with, especially when I'm on a mission and I'm going somewhere? So that's the first thing. Then the second thing, he's trying to navigate direction and calling. What should I do next in my life? So how does Paul navigate these two specific life decisions? And what can we learn about making decisions from the life of Paul? So the first one we're going to unpack and look at is relationships. You know, if there's one thing I really want to say and stress, is that we can never underestimate the decisions we make about people we surround ourselves with. Be it our friends, choice of business partners, people we date, and people we choose to marry. We can never underestimate that decision. What you see is that Paul, he did not underestimate this decision. You know, whom to surround himself with, especially with the fact that he was on mission. He was going somewhere. He was about something. And for that reason, he was very, very careful about who he was choosing to surround himself with. And you know, maybe for some of you here, maybe it's a lack of clear direction in your life that is causing you to just accept just about anyone and anybody into your life. Oh yeah, I'll just be friends with that person. Oh yeah, that's all right. Oh yeah, I'll just connect with that person. I'll just do business with that person. I'll just date that person. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It doesn't matter. I'll just do that. No, God has called us and he has a plan and a purpose for us. And you know, for that reason, we are like Paul and we never underestimate whom we surround ourselves with. Listen to me, church, the right people around your life will accelerate your growth and activate the plans and purposes of God in your lives. And the truth is, the wrong people, simply put, will drag you down. That's just the God honest truth. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. I'm sorry. I'm not coming here to give soft messages. I'm coming here to give you the truth. And worse off, some people will even drag you away from the plans and purposes of God in your life. So listen to me, church. We cannot afford to be blasé about this, because the results could be detrimental. You start wondering why you're not living to your life to your full potential. Yeah, sometimes it's just the people you've decided to surround yourself with. And you know what? For me personally, this is a decision I had to make. You know, Rania, who are you surrounding yourself with? It's a question that I always ask myself. High school, university, even now, who am I actually surrounding myself with? You know, in high school, I had a group of friends. I love them dearly. But I just knew I couldn't be really good friends with these people. And yeah, I was the person who would have lunch with my one friend. But that was a choice that I made. But you know, one decision would have led me down the path of maybe, how old am I now? I'm not going to say my age out loud. Don't come ask me either. But by this age, if I'd chosen to surround myself with one group of friends, I genuinely would have had a body count of 50 to 100. That's how many people I would have been able to have just slept with easily, just because of their lifestyle, just because that's the thing, that's the vibe, that's what they do, that's just them. But I made the decision that led me to have a body count of one, and that's my husband, if you're wondering. Testify. Yes, amen. So, What Paul does in Acts 16, when he's deciding whom to surround himself with, is two things. He asks about Timothy's reputation. He's soliciting. He's like saying, come on, tell me a bit more about him. Tell me about his maturity. And he looks at his background and his family. You know, what was Timothy's reputation? Acts 16 verse 2 says, Timothy was well spoken of by brothers and sisters who were in Lystra and Iconium. And if I get the map up, if I can just get the map up, what it also says, I will get to the map. It says that, you know, in the verse before, it says that Paul traveled to Derbe and also to Lystra. So basically, if you look at the map, Paul traveled to Derbe and Lystra. Sure, you can see them there. But Timothy was well spoken of in Iconium. So which, for me, I was thinking, okay, what this is actually telling me is that his reputation went beyond him. It went beyond him. You know, reputation, good reputation is a matter of great importance. In Ecclesiastes 7 verse 1, it says, a good name is better than precious perfume. My question to you, church, is do you even seek or check someone else's reputation these days? And when I say reputation, ladies, I don't mean this. You're going to see a dating profile picture come up. I don't mean this. Jack, 31, I am loved by the king. Good for you, Jack, that you are loved by the king. Good. I am glad that you're loved by the king. But what's your reputation, though? Uh-huh. What's your reputation, though? I'm saving some ladies from saying yes to men who just have good, crafted words on their dating profile. Great. I'm happy for you, Jack, that you're loved by the king. Thank you very much. Forget asking, do you even lift, bro? The question should actually be, do you even have a good reputation, bro? Actually, why don't you turn to your neighbor and ask, how is your reputation going? All right. Okay, let me draw you back in again. I mean, this is a safe place. So I've got a bit of a confession to make. I've got a slight confession to make. I mean, when I saw my husband's profile picture, I mean, I did see his muscles, and that was the first thing I saw. And I thought, you know what? I'll talk to this guy. But in all seriousness, I did actually seek his reputation. In the church that he was in before, he was there for 17 years. I listened to what people were saying about him. You know, I asked questions about him. And that helped me with making my decision. Secondly, Paul considered who Timothy was before bringing him into his circle. You know, it's no mistake that the Bible says that Timothy was a son of a Jewish woman who was a believer. However, his father was a Greek. So what Luke is trying to like tell us as he's writing this text is that actually his Jewish and Greek heritage were of importance. You know, Timothy at the same time, his mother was Eunice and his grandmother was Lois, which indicated to Paul how he was raised because his parents were of firm believers. But his Jewish and Greek heritage, I paused on that for a little bit. And I was just like, why is this like of importance for Luke to put in the text? And the reason for that is that it symbolized the direction that the Holy Spirit was moving God's people in regards to bringing the Jews and the Gentiles together. Timothy, the whole of Timothy, actually embodied where Paul was going. Paul was out preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, and Timothy embodied this, the Jewish and the Gentiles coming together. So my second thing is actually, are you spiritually aligned to the people that are surrounding you? And I use the word spiritually because, in all honesty, there are people in regards to our flesh that we want to be aligned to. That's the truth. But spiritually, there's no alignment. So the question is, are you spiritually aligned to the people that are surrounding you? You know, when it comes to choosing whom to surround ourselves with, Jesus desires to lead us as we make those decisions. And what we learn from Paul in regards to relationships is two things: reputation and alignment. That's the question for you. That's the homework for you. As you look at your life and you look at who's surrounding you, what is their reputation? And are you actually spiritually aligned to those people? So that's lesson number one from relationships. Decision number two that he's trying to make is direction and calling. And in verse 6 to 10, we see Paul navigate this next decision of what should I do next? So if we get up our map up again, and then I'm going to go through verse 6 and 7. So verse 6, it says that they passed through the territory of Phrygia and Galatia after being forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word. And after that, they came to Mysia, and then they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And as I was studying this map, I was just taken aback by the fact that he was trying to go all the way up to Bithynia. You can see where Bithynia is, all the way up there. But actually, the Spirit forbid him, did not permit him. And then he had to go down to Mysia, into Troas, which is in that little corner. But then he then ended up going into Macedonia, which is that way. So Paul, he was trying to go right. But actually, the Holy Spirit was directing him to go left. You know, Paul was blocked by the Holy Spirit. That's actually what the text says. He was forbidden. He was not permitted. He was not allowed. And this is clearly a preventative action of the Holy Spirit. But actually, what the Holy Spirit is doing is directing. He is directing. You know, Paul's desire and ambition was a good one. It was a good one. He wanted to go and preach. He wanted to go and spread the word. He wanted to go all the way to Bithynia. And that's where he wanted to go. But the problem was, it was not in alignment with the plan of God. The map can come down, thank you. And for that reason, God blocked it. As my good friend Ruben would say, he's not here tonight, I was trying to see if he's here. But not every good desire you have is God's desire for you. Not every good desire you have is God's desire for you. And we have to ask ourselves, can we truly handle God's no in our lives? Or are we actually going to be the people that are so proud and have an ego that we're just going to bulldoze God with our ambitions or our desires? You know, the beautiful thing about verse 7 is that Luke, whilst writing, he makes the effort of writing, the Spirit of Jesus did not permit him. The Spirit of Jesus did not permit him. And those words are going to come up. And we have to stop and ask, why does he say the Spirit of Jesus? He could have just said the Holy Spirit. He could have written that again. But he says, The Spirit of Jesus did not permit him. And this is not a mistake, church. What it's actually picking up on is a theological term called Christology, where we're looking at the nature and at the work of Jesus. What Luke is saying here is that the Spirit of Jesus is not a force. He's also saying the Spirit himself is divine. He's of God. The Spirit speaks with the authority of God. Jesus is divine. He is the exalted one. And the beautiful thing, the beautiful reality is that it is this Jesus who is near and dear and close to us. And not only that, he desires to lead us and guide us as we make decisions. The Spirit of Jesus. And it's no mistake that he writes this as well, because in this time, in this Greco-Roman culture, this time that this text is being written in, people were, they were up to no good. They were really up to no good. They were consulting omens, oracles, the stars, their multiple different gods. That's what they were doing in regards to where shall I go? What should I do next? That is what was happening in those days. But you know, I had the revelation of thinking, actually, our generation needs the revelation of this Christology, of the nature of Jesus. Who this Jesus is, who our Lord and Savior is, and that actually he is near and he guides us and he leads us and he directs us. Because the honest truth is that today, right now, and actually there was a poll that was taken, over 30% of people are looking to tarot cards, looking to astrology, zodiac signs, palm readings, crystals, consulting dream interpretation books, ancestral worship, which is the new thing in African culture. All my ancestors will guide me. What? Don't even get me started on that. Just far away stuff. It's not near stuff, far away stuff, looking at things that are far away. But let me tell you the God honest truth, all of those things are of demonic influence. James 3:15, he warns us to beware of ungodly wisdom that is earthly, spiritual, and demonic. And when we start looking at these things, we break the first two commandments. Commandment number one, you shall have no other gods before me. Commandment number two, you shall have no idols. Make no idols. But our idols have now become these things. Oh, that's what's going to direct me. No, Jesus is going to direct me. He's going to direct me. And when you put something else in his place to give you guidance and wisdom and direction and helping you make decisions, church, that's your idol. I'll just say it as plainly as that. My God, he is Elohim. Elohim, no one is higher. I've been listening to this song by Bethel. It's unreleased. I've had it on repeat. And I'm like, why is this song just like, I can't stop listening to me. And I was just like, oh, yeah, because this is actually something you're going to be saying. He is Elohim. No one is higher. No one is greater. But we have a generation now that's putting things above God, breaking the commandments. Let us go back to even reading and studying the commandments. What are the 10 commandments? So, my final thing. The closed door. This no from the Spirit of Jesus led Paul to a yes to Macedonia. And I know for some of us, yes, we may have had closed doors. For myself personally, I remember I had closed doors of trying to apply for like a managerial position in my workplace when I was working as a midwife. And I applied 3 times. And that door was shut 3 times. And the honest truth is, it really hurt. I actually felt like, gosh, I'm not good enough. Like, I'm not good enough. And I felt lost, a bit aimless. And for Paul, you can imagine, he was wanting to go right. That's what his desire was. And you can imagine how he would have felt when God was not permitting him to do those things. But actually, that no led Paul to yes, to a yes. A yes to a better plan. A yes to a bigger plan. Let me tell you what happened when he got to Macedonia. This is what happened. Lydia was converted and her household. We saw people gain freedom, including the girl that was bound by a demon. She saw freedom. She gained freedom when Paul got there. Paul and Silas, that verse that we read about the chains breaking and falling, that happened when he was in Macedonia. But not only that, the conversion of the jailer who had jailed him and that household. Not only that, the gospel came to Europe for the very first time, and the church was established in Europe, and the history of the church was changed forever, all because Paul was obedient to that no, which led him to a bigger yes. You know, it may hurt now when that door has closed. You shouldn't date that person. That hurts. You can't go into business with them. Whew. Okay, that hurts. You can't move to that city. But we have to trust that the leading of the Holy Spirit, that no will lead us to a better yes. So practically, to close, how do we become sensitive to the Holy Spirit leading us? Number one, we pray. And when I say pray, I mean we pray, not two-minute prayers. We need to turn up the temperature of our praying. We can't be having prayers that are not battling things. We are in a battle, and we need to pray. We need to read our Bible. We need to study our Bible. We need to be able to just discern the voice of God because we're so entrenched in His Word. And for some of us, we need to start fasting. You know, the number one tactic of the enemy now is distraction. We're all distracted. But at the same time, the number one weakness for our generation now is discipline. And as my auntie said, I had my auntie around on Friday night. She said, Ronya, because I was busy talking about this, and she was like, Ronya, the problem is that your generation is more disciplined on keeping up on about their favorite person on Instagram. Ooh, have they posted the story? You are disciplined enough to know what's happening in other people's lives on social media. But your generation cannot even be disciplined enough to study the Word of God. Let us not be like that. I encourage you, let us study the Word. When I say study, I mean let us study the Word. Start by studying the Ten Commandments. Start by just knowing Scripture. Discipline. And Lord, my cry for us today is that we are a church who put You in the center of all of our decision making. My cry is that we trust You when You say no. And may our desires and our ambitions never get in the way of us. And I pray, may we have the stamina and discipline to read Your Word so we can discern Your voice. As it says in Psalm 119, verse 169, let my cry come before You, O Lord. Give me understanding according to Your Word. If you just take one thing away from what I've said tonight, the one key thing, I just want you to remember that the Spirit of Jesus, is here and He desires to lead each and every one of us. At the same time, let's not put anything ahead or in front of him. Let's just look to Jesus and Jesus alone. So as I invite the band up, I'll remind us again that decisions, they impact the trajectory of your life. What you decide today, we will see the fruit of that tomorrow. But the good news is that we don't do anything in our own strength. Jesus desires to lead us intimately as we make decisions. And as the band close and we sing one more final song, I don't know, has this message helped anyone or have I just preached to myself? Okay. Okay. I think my heart for everything really is that it just really breaks my heart when I just see just specifically like my generation just getting, I always use the word tossed about. You really can be winning in life. But sometimes it just boils down to those decisions that we make. Other times it honestly just boils down to who you surround yourself with. And then also it just boils down to the discipline of not studying the Word of God. And I will always harp on about those things in regards to the fact that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. But church, we have to turn the temperature up. We have to turn the temperature up, not through our own strength, but with the Holy Spirit. If that needs to be a prayer, Holy Spirit, I just pray that you strengthen me and you give me the discipline that I need to study your word. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you strengthen me and give me the desire to pray and be in your presence more. Holy Spirit, I just want to seek you more. We don't want to be a lukewarm generation. And that's what I'm seeing. It's just lukewarm generation that's just getting bombarded by things. Gosh, we just need to read the Bible. I can't say it enough. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. Let's make the right decisions this year so that when I see you next year, I can see the fruit of those decisions. And if he closes doors for you, it's okay. It may hurt. He closed the door of me going and being a manager in midwifery. But you know what? God had a bigger calling and a bigger purpose. So instead of, and this is the word that people always say, instead of birthing physical babies, God has moved me into a place of birthing spiritual babies. And you know what I'm going to do? I am going to run as hard as I can with that calling and that purpose on my life. So whatever door God has closed for you, it's okay. Just trust that his yes is a bigger plan and a better plan. Look at what happened to Paul when he went to Macedonia. So come on, why don't we stand? We'll respond to this message. And I felt just two strong prayer points for tonight. The first one. Actually, no, I'm going to add a third one. But the first two that I had is that we want to pray for people who maybe have a really big, significant decision that they need to make. It may be today, it may be this coming week, coming month. We just want to pray for those people who really have a significant decision that they need to make. That could change, it will change the trajectory of your life. Secondly, just want to pray for people who feel like, yes, Rania, I've come in today and I do have that fog of confusion over me. And you just want prayer for clarity. And I just want to invite those guys up. But thirdly, I just want people to also just, if they're brave enough, just also just repent, come forward and repent for putting other things above God. And if you feel like, do you know what, you've been putting your trust in all these other things and not God, I want to invite you to come forward. You can kneel, you can lie on the floor, you can do whatever you need to do. But if that is you and you feel like, do you know what, I need to repent of that as well, I want to invite you to come forward. So as the band sing this final song, we'll just open the space up for you to come forward. But Almighty God, I just pray one final prayer over everybody. I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, will you just guide us? We thank you, Lord, that your Spirit, your beautiful Spirit, desires to lead us. We thank you, Lord, that you're near to us. We thank you, Lord, that we're not alone. And Father God, we trust you in the know. We trust you. We lay our life down and we thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for us. But I pray, Almighty God, that we will not be the generation that's lukewarm. So I pray, Father God, that you just reignite us, Lord, that we have a desire and a passion to just read your word, be in your presence, and seek you first. So I pray, Lord, any idols that may be in our lives, Father God, I pray we tear those things down tonight. They are coming down in the name of Jesus. Lord, guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss out.
If you want to find out more, visit our website, gastreet.org, or follow us on Instagram @gastreetchurch.